The future is now. Explorers from deep space crash land on a savage planet destined for annihilation.
Abandoned ship! Get out now!
They discover a world so unpredictable, so shocking, it will shatter your very concept of reality and reveal the dark destiny of man.
What alternate universe is this? What planet did I wake up in?
They own the banks, fund the wars, manage the politicians, control the media, and command the apes to enforce their tyranny.
You want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
They tried to silence the one man who saw it coming. And the world he reveals will challenge every idea you've ever had of freedom.
They cut her. Did you know about this?
No, I swear, I never saw that girl before.
But they... You did it. You cut up her brain, you bloody baboon. Take your stinking paws off me, you damn 38.
Prepare yourself for the most shocking ending in the history of motion pictures.
I've terrified you from the beginning, and I still do. You're afraid of me, and you hate me. Why?
Because you're a menace to our globalist plan. Be careful what you find, Alex. You might not like what you see.
Oh my God. You actually did it.
You activated the Great Reset, you maniacs! You blew it up! God damn you! Damn you all to hell!
The Alex Jones Show, the most banned broadcast on the planet.
Well, hello. There's going to be something a little bit different on today. In the fourth hour, I'm going to be talking to the notorious, the one and the only man who has certainly done the time. Not sure about the crime, but that would be Victor Boot, who I think is now safely back in Mother Russia and not in a Supermax prison somewhere. I would say it's better to be back in Russia. And I'm 10 years older than you. I was born in 1957. So I was always fascinated with the dark arts. I was a Navy Spetsnaz, Navy SEAL in my youth. That's how I paid for a university. I was a Russian studies major. So now ya ochen chelovyek. I'm an old guy now. But when I was in the 80s and in that era, I studied very closely some interesting characters of those times. There was a Canadian named Gerald Bull. He invented very long-range howitzers that he sold to the South Africans with the blessing of the CIA, and it just goes to show that if you trust those bastards, sooner or later the political winds change and you wind up in jail. And in the case of Gerald Bull, he wound up with the Mossad killing him in the Netherlands. So it's better to be in Russia than in the ground. And then there was another one of my favorites who wrote a couple of really excellent books. Cannot recommend them highly enough. Michael Mad Mike Hoare, who is a South African mercenary leader, fought in the Congo in the 60s. Was involved in a couple of attempted coups, also spent some years in jail, and he recently died in 2020 at the age of 101. So this guy who, going back to the 50s and 60s, was an amazing adventurer, just wild cowboy around the world, Mike Hoare, lived to be over 100, so he really broke the mold there. And then some guys I'm not so crazy about. There was Frank Turpel and Ed Wilson, who were affiliated with the CIA.
been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80. We're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that choppy outro there to the break that I completely missed. But you know, I'm wearing this shirt today in honor of our guest, my guest of Victor Boot, and it says at the bottom, "Celebrate Diversity." It has like 16 pistols on it. So it's my Celebrate Diversity T-shirt because I think you can say that we both have a love of guns and what you can do with guns and travel and adventure. And you know, I have never been arrested by the CIA or put in jail. So we don't have that in common. But yeah, I did all that as like a long intro because I've always been, you know, I'm a novelist. I write just crazy books. Right. But I try to keep it real. But I've always been fascinated with these international mavericks, these guys that don't fit the mold, that break free, like, you know, outlaw bikers or pirates in the old days, you know, that have their own moral code. And it may not be one that everybody on Fox News would agree with. But have their own loyalty to their own country, their own friends, and you know, there's certainly something to say to that, and I'm glad that you're free, and with that we can discuss anything at all.
Okay, great to have you, Matt. You know, it's a pleasure for me to speak to you and all your audience. Well, the one small update, I was not arrested by CIA, but by DEA, because accordingly the rumors I had while I've been in a lockup, CIA refused to go after me because they have nothing on me. So they called the dirty, you know, staff masters, DEA, who are specialized in a, you know, a sting operation and all dirty jobs. Unfortunately, absolutely right. You know, in all the good times, 80s and 90s, at least there was a certain respect or professionalism of, you know, whether the CIA operatives and their counterparts from Russia, from other countries. I myself grew up reading the books of the French novelist Gérald de Villiers. He wrote like over 400, you know, novels, basically based about, you know, spy story. And you couldn't believe when I was in Bangkok jail, you know, one day somebody shows up to visit me. So I'm coming there. There is an old bald man sitting, giving me his card. I'm looking on it. And I was like, wow, are you the same writer who wrote this, you know, SIS series? He said, yes, because his hero was one of the Austrian CIA, you know, noble spy who been going to every country and, you know, having some adventures. Where he was good is about his book you can use as a basically, you know, manual about this historical geopolitical situation and struggle is usually between bad guys, either the Soviets or somebody else. And, you know, all his 400 books been covering basically since 60s. Can you believe he died like, what, maybe 8 years ago? Because when he visited me with his wife, and he came several times, you know, to visit me, so we have a very lengthy discussion. For me, it was very fun, because for me, he was a great source of that kind of the geopolitical, you know, stories from within, you know, presented through this, of course, novel. It was always a little bit sex there too, like James Bond. And, you know, once I told him, look, everything is fine. You're doing fantastic job. But why are you adding on every book such kind of the, you know, even improper sometimes, you know, obscene scenes with the sex? I said, Victor, sorry, but how am I going to sell them? If there is no sex in the books, nobody will buy them.
Yeah, you know, I'm so envious of somebody who can write so many novels. You know, I've written right. six long full-length novels, but I'm very slow. I get off the track. Yeah. But there's so much that can be truthful that's in novels, much better than the dry position papers that academics put out. You know, guys that go to conferences, or maybe they were colonel or a Navy captain. And some of these people on Fox News, I just wonder what life did they live that they're such idiots that they can be considered experts, and they're saying basically gravity doesn't exist, or 2 + 2 = 17, you know, and they're considered experts. And you see a lot of very true things in novels that are written by some people that are old former spooks or former commando types. And that, for me, it's made me very interested in writing very realistic novels. You know, one of my favorite movies this is from the 70s, I think. It was a novel, I think it was called 7 Days of the Condor. It was made into a film with Robert Redford called 3 Days of the Condor. Mm-hmm. And Navy SEALs liked it because he used Ingram Mach-10 in this. And the Mach-10 was a real piece of crap, square block, blowback machine gun with a big suppressor. And in that movie, a man dressed as a mailman comes into a CIA safe house in a New York City apartment and shoots everybody with a Mach-10. And the SEALs always loved that. We always said the Mach-10 is the best submachine gun for a shootout inside a telephone booth. Also can use as an anchor or to drive in tent stakes, you know, equally good. But in this movie, Robert Redford is a CIA analyst at a proprietary cover business where they read all the books. This is before computers could do this automatically. So they're reading all spy novels, and they're compressing them into the gist of the story and trying to find if codes are being sent out through novels, that these can be distributed, you know, worldwide as just fiction, but maybe they're giving messages to agents. So I always thought that movie was fascinating, because in that book in the early 70s, they're saying we have to even read the fiction novels about spies and spooks and commandos, because sometimes they're written under a pseudonym by former spies to avoid their non-disclosure agreements that they sign when they leave CIA or other situations. And they're not supposed to talk about their former life, so they write a novel. And the novel has more information in it than if they wrote a paper and tried to publish it. But anyway, that's why I was really hooked on the idea of finding truth inside of fiction novels.
Yeah,
maybe you should write a book.
Because, you know, our brain is basically, you know, built in such a way we cannot even imagine in a wild imagination. Nothing unless we saw it. So we are, as a human beings, we can't just, you know, made up the thing, because there is, you know, all the bricks of your fantasy, they're still in the real life. So you're absolutely right. If you are a proper analyst, you can go through the novel and basically pick up very important parts of information. That's, you know, what was, you know, important. You're absolutely right. You know, there is a kind of we're losing the, I don't know what it is, IQ, or if you see for last 30, 40, 50 years, there is this decline of the, you know, it's like affecting worldwide, especially it's seen in America in the movies. We don't see any more movies with the proper, you know, heroes or anti-heroes like used to be with the Steve Seagal. By the way, I just recently was with him because he is also in Russia. Maybe one of these days we can also, you know, bring him to the show and discuss his all good times. And for me, he was kind of always that, you know, master, you know, martial arts and, you know, his movies where he would be very agile.
Who is he you're talking about?
It's a Steve Seagal.
Oh, Seagal, sure. Yeah. He's like pretty heavy now. He's put on some weight. but for real, he went to Japan. For true actual story, he went to Japan at the lowest level, like I washed the dojo. You know, I cleaned the floor of the dojo and live full immersion, learn Japanese, learn Aikido, which is a fantastic martial art. You know, it's not to turn that into a martial arts story, but I have a lot of respect for Aikido because it's not a sparring sport. You know, you don't spar in Aikido, but if somebody comes behind you and grabs your shoulder, you know, you just are going to react and deal with the guy right away, instinctively. And you know, it's related, of course, to jujitsu and other martial arts, but yeah, Steven Seagal is legit, and he is also somebody, and I know others that have moved to Russia because, you know, this is what they call the in some Russians refer to as the Third Rome. This is a very old concept. Even I was a Russian studies major in university in the 70s, and the concept of Third Rome is Rome in Italy is First Rome. Then Orthodox Rome, Constantinople, and then the Saint Cyril and the monks come to Moscow, and that Moscow, as a third Rome, is the final Rome that saves the West, that preserves the Christian culture through Orthodoxy, while Constantinople falls to the Turks, the Muslims, and Rome, of course, falls into decadence and corruption. The popes who are maybe there's two popes at a time, or a pope with, girlfriends. I mean, we're talking old history, but that the pure faith comes to Russia. And you can see this even today. The you can watch videos on YouTube, the Russian military cathedral outside of Moscow. I recommend people look at this. Can you imagine the United States building a military cathedral? I mean, it's a concept that you can't even comprehend in the USA or Europe now, a military cathedral. Who is the singer? He sings Yaruski. His name is the blonde hair. He has a
Shaman. It's a singer, Shaman.
Yeah, that's right. And that Yaruski song is very powerful. And the Russians in fighting in Donbass in Ukraine, they're not having to kidnap them off the street, you know, and force them into a van and give them 3 days training and then send them to the meat grinder. In Russia, the train comes in and the soldiers get off and people are greeting them. You know, and then the boys are signing up. They don't have to be, beaten to be recruited, because there's a different motivation. And, you know, the Ukraine war. I mean, it's I don't know, people are even interested anymore. But in the Soviet Union, yeah, that's the video. It's unbelievable. It's very powerful, and he has a wooden cross around his neck, shaman. But in the Soviet Union, Ukraine was like Long Island is part of New York State, and Ukraine becomes as a fluke of history, a separate a country with the breakup of the Soviet Union, but Ukraine was part of Russia. Most of Ukraine was part of Russia. Lenin for political purposes inside the Soviet Union, made part of that territory, which means like the frontier or the borderland. That's why it was always called the Ukraine, not a country called Ukraine. So it's a very sensitive subject for Ukrainians today if you say the Ukraine, because it's reminding them that it just means the borderland, you know, the area between Europe and Russia, the frontier land. But yeah, that Lenin and then Khrushchev in the 60s, for just internal Soviet Union political reasons, transferred the authority to Kiev. But nobody was thinking at the end of the Soviet Union that this would be a separate country. And it is, but the eastern third of it is completely Russian-speaking, Russian tradition, Russian culture. So from 2014 until today, this war has been going on. And I always say, whether we're discussing Iran or Ukraine, it depends on when your history starts. If your history starts in 2022, then yeah, Russia is invading. If your history starts centuries ago or in 2014, it's different. And in Iran, does your history start in 1953 with the CIA overthrowing the elected government? Or, you know, when does your history start? But yeah, in both cases, the history is very complex and you have to peel things apart. I'm sorry to be
correct. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, let's start with this, you know, really the Russia become kind of the, you know, third Rome, and the Russian saying was there is a third Rome in Russia and there is never will be the fourth one. Well, literally right now, Russia may be the most free country despite we having this, you know, war with Ukraine. And it's also, we feel it because Ukrainians using the technology, especially the Starlink of Elon Musk, are trying to attack by drones deep inside the territory. Of course, using the all intelligence provided by the American all spy 16 agencies, they're having how to avoid radar, how to fly flow, and trying to attack refineries. But more often, they're attacking just, you know, normal buildings because they can't really heat heavy. But especially in the border areas, there is daily we have the casualties because they're attacking the residential buildings, they're attacking the schools, they're killing just the car with only civilians on it. Nevertheless,
and the communication link for the guidance for these drones, and also for sea drones in the Black Sea, the guidance system is a Starlink.
And you know, recently, because the Russian side also used to have the Starlinks, but what they did, and Musk gave into the Ukrainians' demand and actually used the white list, you know, and blocked anything else which was not in this list provided by Ukrainians. So we're adapting, we launch our own system equivalent of the, you know, Starlink. Of course, it will require some time to build in the same magnitude and scale, but it's going on. Still, it's a difficult terrain and the war completely changed. So if you look on the perspective, despite that we are in a war situation, government tried to keep Russia as open as possible. There is, as you saw from the many, you know, stories, just look on the Russian TV, you see that the Moscow really now one of the most safest, most beautiful cities in the world with the best, second to the none, public transport, with the fintech. It's very safe.
When you see the Russian metro system, and it's like each station is an art gallery, and the New York or Paris is people urinating.
Correct. Yeah. And this is again the sharp contracts. That's why many foreigners now moving in Russia, and you know the Russia trying to work up a scheme where all those who are sharing conservative value, who are respecting the God, who willing to bring their kids, you know, without this influence of the Epstein coalition of pedophile rings. You know, they basically welcome in Russia. Yes, of course, despite all the sanctions, you know, we are trying to preserve at least normal life. As you're right, In Russia, there is no forceful conscription. Everybody who go and sign the contract is voluntarily. They are paid for this one. So it's also painful because, you know, we also having a casualties. But let me tell you one thing. What was surprising that till now, there is a lot of volunteers who are gathering whatever is needed for our boys in the front lines. If they are missing something, like, you know, sometimes there is generators, sometimes the winter stuff for them, sometimes this, you know, drones or, you know, thermal vision, something like that. Everything, people gathering, we are preparing it and sending it, and everybody does it. So it's really become kind of the unifying entire nation for past 4 years. There is so many stories of volunteers, so many stories of those who went and risking their life in the front lines, helping civilians who've been liberated. And when you see these civilians who've been under the Ukrainian rules for so many years, and they refused to be evacuated. They've been waiting for the Russians.
And rebuilding, and already rebuilding cities like Mariupol. Rebuilding.
Correct, correct. Yeah, I'm, you know, quite often visiting also the Donbas region. And for me, you know, every time you're coming, you see these changes. It's very, very important. But as you're right, look, first of all, result of this war was planted long time ago with the Lenin decision, as you said. Because let's go to the root reasons of this story. First of all, Bolshevik Revolution was a globalist project, you know, to overthrow the Tsarist regime and do the first social experiment.
Lenin was sent from New York to Finland Station to Moscow by New York bankers, sending a pathogen.
Yeah. Not Lenin alone, because they sent him from Switzerland in the seal, you know, car of the railways, you know, through the Germany, enemy Germany, just intentionally, you know, keeping them. Let's send him to Russia. But the Trotsky and his group, basically the sole group of the world, Bolsheviks, basically, yeah, was sent from New York on the special, you know, steamer. They came about 800 of them, and they basically was the core of this Russian Revolution. What they did
men like Armand Hammer, who was like a
correct.
George Soros. He's like kind of a George Soros of that century, and he is thinking, if I wreck Russian society, destroy it, then I will be on the ground floor of whatever is coming up. For grain deals, for oil deals, I can't come into the Russian society pre-Bolshevik Revolution. I'm nobody. But if we wreck the society and destroy it, whatever is rebuilt on that foundation, I'll be a kingmaker. And this is this is like color revolution formula.
And look, what's happened when this Bolshevik project globalist basically it was the first. You know, successful project of the globalist of destruction of the root, you know, culture of the, you know, Russia. What they did, first of all, they tried to rebrand and destroy the religion. We know that
we're coming to a break. We got like 20 seconds to a break, but go ahead. Continue.
After the break, what they did, they start to pillaging the churches, removing every valuables and sending them by the truckloads to the West for sale. Because any normal church would accumulate at least several kilos of the gold, you know, a dozen kilos of the silver. And this was one of the reasons why they went after the church, first of all.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high quality private label top selling brand that we were able to private label. We're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high quality zeolite. Please do your own research. and then go to theolivestonestore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. And you said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Matt Bracken.
Okay, I'm back with Victor Boot, and I wanted to explore a little bit and compare the Ukraine war and the Iran war in several aspects. There's a saying, I believe it's Napoleon, he said, the morale is to the material as 3 to 1. I think that's I'm remembering that, but meaning the morale, the psychological health of a society, of your army, is 3 times more important than the logistics. And the United States in the beginning of the Vietnam War in the early 60s was an extremely patriotic country. We were very still remembering Second World War, Korean War, and there was a draft, conscription. Soldiers were drafted, they went, they didn't complain, they put on the uniform. The beginning of Vietnam, the first years of Vietnam War, was very high morale and high patriotism. But it was ground down. This patriotism was ground down and wasted in a kind of a no-win situation, with a lot of memories now or comparisons to the Iran war, where the Pentagon press briefing is how many bombing raids, how many sorties, how many attacks. But, you know, they said in Vietnam, we won every battle and lost the war, right? So we're now coming into this Iran war, and the morale is already terrible and against this war, whereas we went into the Vietnam War with great morale and lost it. We're now starting a war with terrible morale, a war of choice that we're the aggressor. And in Russia, as a carry-on from the Soviet Union days, the victory parades in May, it's not just a big parade in Moscow. Every city and town, the veterans are honored. The Great Patriotic War, which was a war of annihilation against the Soviet Union and Russians, that they survived it. And every Russian today can say, my great-grandfather, my great-uncle was killed, or you know, is a veteran. In Iran, their Great Patriotic War is the eight-year war from 1980 to 1988, which was Iraq invading Iran when Iran was still very in a state of flux and confusion after the revolution. Their standing military, the Shah's military, had been disbanded. There wasn't really a new military yet. And this is when both the Soviet Union and America were afraid of this new Ayatollah regime. So both supported Saddam Hussein, primarily a CIA client. We even gave him chemicals to make sarin gas to use on Iranians. And they didn't surrender. The very key oil fields and gas fields and oil infrastructure is right at the union of Iraq and Iran. So when coming in 100 kilometers into Iran takes their best territory for gas and oil. And the Iranians did not surrender. They did not shatter as a people. You know, that a formal backed military attacked them, and they had nothing like that. They had to fight essentially with their bare hands, and we mock this and say it's terrible, but even, you know, children going to the front. But the point is that culture didn't break, it didn't shatter. And today, the West in America, we think any country that takes this kind of punishment, they must be ready to surrender. We don't understand their mentality, that they're not going to surrender. They're not going to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As you mentioned, first of all, big underestimation that just starting the bombing, they're going to, you know, do the regime change, you know. And it's funny to watch, like, the Trump saying, oh, I'm coming to liberate you, because, you know, all this protest orchestrated, again, by the West. Of course, in Iran, there is also very vibrant democracy, and people feel free to go and protest. Yes, they protested about, you know, inflation. They protested about something. And the Trump saying, oh, you know, but when the protests cross the line, like anywhere else, you know, and start killing the innocent, you know, or police, who, in matter of fact, was not stopping them from protesting peacefully. But somebody was supplying them with the guns. Somebody was supplying them. And the first day of the protest last year, there is a very big number of the, first of all, policemen was killed. You know, government official was killed. It's purely orchestrated eventually by Mossad and Western spy agencies, you know, attempt to cause a colored revolution. It doesn't went through. And usually...
Right. And in fact, there were 50... there was 50,000 Starlinks. 50,000 50,000 Starlinks brought in. And this is key also in the Ukraine situation, because apparently with Russian help in the cyber realm, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps figured out how to locate these Starlinks, because the key of a Starlink is that it's not a radio like transmitting in omnidirection. it's a very tight focused beam going up, and then it clicks from satellite to satellite as they're passing, but the beam is very tight. So in order to locate the Starlinks and then take them out of the equation, this was a critical part of the January 2026 Iran riots to get rid of the Starlinks. And I wonder how that relates back to Ukraine with, you know, Elon Musk has terminated Starlink access on the Russian side. But to be able to locate these Starlinks, I think a lot of it has to do with how long they're used. That you can't just leave a Starlink like on your window, like a satellite television dish. If you have a Starlink and it's being used for a long time, it has a chance of being tracked than a military Starlink in Ukraine, where it's camouflaged, it's turned on for 30 seconds to make a link, used, and then it's either abandoned or... But this Starlink technology is really important, both in understanding what's going on in Iran and in Ukraine.
Correct. But you see, Iranians succeeded to, first of all, sort out that attempt, completely repel. But when the United States was pushed by Israel to start this attack, unprovoked, basically, you know.
The February 28 attack.
Correct. And what they did by killing the leadership, they thought that, oh, people will go on the street and, you know, protest and take power or do the regime change. In fact, it's happened opposite. People went on the street and consolidated around those who've been really telling, like, hey, doesn't matter what we're going to defend. They put aside all their differences, all their grievances, whatever they happen. And look, they are mobilized. Right now, Iranians are mobilized, I think, up to the 10 million volunteers, part of them helping as a civilian volunteers to go through the rubbles, to clean up the streets, to, you know, distribute whatever is needed. But Iran had a very resilient system of the management, not only on the command and high level of this, but everything is functional. You know,
the mosaic strategy.
But apart from this, all local authorities and the line of command, even for civilian part, are functioning. They're still distributing, you know, the special coupons which allowed people, you know, from lower income to have, you know, supplemental purchases of the food. They are really very well thought society with a social network. And think of this, price of the gas in Iran, it's like a, you know, fraction of what, you know, people paying in the United States. So,
yes, you
know,
to take a train from one side of Iran to another is $8, and to fill your gas tank is like not even $1.
It may be
million reals or $1.
So basically, Iranians like Russians, we want to be left alone and, you know, not be, you know, provoke for any, you know, aggression of this. So they're doing right. They're defending themselves. And they've been very well prepared for it. We need to give them, the first of all, the credit for their courage. For that, there is utmost we see no single big high-level treason going on. And definitely they withstand. Moreover, as you said, morale is a 1-3, you know, or 3-1. So they have a very high level of the moral grounds. When the American troops who will send there, including for the, you know, ground operation, really in their hearts don't know what they're doing there. What kind of the national interest America have by occupying or destroying or killing, matter of fact, Iranians, or destroying their civilization like President Trump was threatening them. So this is just causing somewhere deep inside the blood of Iranians like any other ones, like deep inside the blood of Russians when enemy come to your land to protect it, to liberate your own people. Never let that happen. Yes, this is a vicious war, especially when the Israelis are... bombing unnecessary civilian infrastructure, committing so many military crimes, you know, war crimes, without even giving the thought, second thought, hey, why, what is a military purpose of this? Just to scare people off? Heck no, they would not be scared. So what, you're going to punish the population? You're going to kill the just civilians? And just, you know, a month ago or 40 days ago, you've been telling, oh, we're coming to liberate you. And now you want just to level entire Iran from the map? It ain't happening. So basically, right. This conflict, you know, and the resilience which Iranian shows with their patriotism and, you know, firmness, put Trump into corner. He have no any good exit strategies at all, and doesn't matter what he gonna do to extract himself from this conflict will cause him to more and more damages. And if he would be honest man, like, okay, you must step forward, admit that this was an error, you know, do the stuff, and at least negotiate in a good spirit. But what do you think from Iranians if they send, you know, Kushner and the Witkov to negotiate together with the GD Vance? And Kushner and Witkov just negotiated with them while they knew that they're going to kill next day their leadership. So,
yeah, the sneak attack.
How are you going to trust your, you know, negotiations? And, I don't know.
When I grew up, when I was in the, you know, 1960s and 70s, the thinking in the United States was about Hiroshima. Whenever the subject Hiroshima came up, we would say, you Japanese started it at Pearl Harbor. Now, I know it's much more complicated. There were sanctions. Japan was being pushed into a corner with sanctions. But before that, they had invaded Manchuria. So it's nobody was perfectly like clean, like driven snow. But in the American mind, when you cross the line is Pearl Harbor, the kinetic attack, that is a sneak attack. And so Americans said, you start the war with a sneak attack. Don't complain if we end it with an atom bomb. Don't start a war with a sneak attack. Okay. Now, February 28th, we did something in my mind worse than the Japanese, because in December 7th, the Japanese broke the diplomatic relations before Pearl Harbor. Maybe not long before, but like half a day before. And if nobody in Washington is paying attention, they can say, well, that's your problem. You're not paying attention. To have your airplanes together at the airfield in Pearl Harbor. And they had to sneak, the Japanese had to come all the way across the Pacific. Very dangerous operation. At any point crossing the Pacific, some Pan Am China Clipper airplane or patrol aircraft can spot this fleet and the surprise is gone. So they took the risk coming all the way across the Pacific. And when they attacked Pearl Harbor, they were attacking with Japanese aircraft with the Japanese insignia right on them. And before the attack, they broke the diplomatic relations, no more negotiations. We left the negotiations and said, we'll see you on Monday, more negotiations. And then Saturday morning, we do the sneak attack. And we're now using the Israeli Gaza and Beirut rule, which is, oh, one man, and maybe he's in this apartment building, one man. So put a 2,000-pound bomb or Tomahawk missile in this building, because maybe one man that we want to kill is in this building. All the neighbors, family, we don't care. Like the schoolgirls that were killed in the first Tomahawk attacks. 170 schoolgirls in Iran. Sorry, but it was not a declared war. Not a declared war. Sneak attack. And when I grew up, sneak attack was like the black hat cowboy that shoots the other cowboy in the back. That's the sneak attack. An honorable cowboy, he doesn't shoot in the back.
Correct. First of all, yeah, you said there is an erosion of this, at least, you know, rules and tradition of the war engagement. As you said, there is no official announcement of the war. There is no official, you know, this, it was in midst of the negotiations. So this is completely nullified, you know, the trust or any international, I would say, tradition more than the law, because law was disregarded, international law, already for past 10 years slowly, and it was completely dismantled by the Trump. But this is not end of it. I would even compare what's going on with this reptilian, you know, shifters or whatever you name it, you know, reptiloids, who really are in control, because such absence of the empathy, such absence of the, I would say, you know, any humanistic thoughts about, hey, why we need to do this, why we need to destroy, which is the truth for Israeli regime, which is the truth for those who in Pentagon planned this action, especially killing this girl in Iran in the school for no reason, and then still investigating without admitting, you know, yes, it's you know, was a mistake or something. No, it was very well planned. And eventually, this is, was a sacrifice to their, you know, a satanic cult of the innocent children, just to scare of the people of Iran, to say, hey, yeah,
and you know the Nuremberg trials in 1945-46, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I don't care, I wish the Germans had won, and so forth. And I'm not even taking a position on the legality of the Nuremberg trials. People will say, Soviet Union, they killed even more people than the Nazis. Okay, but the only thing I'm going to say is Keitel and Jodl and these other generals, Hermann Göring, when they started this war in 1939, attacking Poland, and then 1941, Barbarossa, attacking Soviet Union, they never, or 1940, attacking France and attacking Battle of Britain with the air power, they never thought maybe we lose this war. And then we're going to be held responsible, and we're going to be hanged. And the hanged, which they were. Hitler is already dead, with, you know, killed in the bunker by his own hand, I think. But these generals never thought, maybe someday somebody will hold us responsible for this. And in the Nuremberg trial, and I'm not taking a position on the legality of, you know, having Soviets and Americans trying Germans, but the main charge is planning and waging a war of aggression, a war you start. You know, you attack Pearl Harbor, Poland. There is a peace. Maybe there's sanctions. Maybe there's economic warfare, but not tanks, not Stuka bombers, right? And that when they were hanged, these German generals are hanged, the first charge is planning and waging and conducting a war of aggression, starting a war. And we started this war. We, America, started this war February 28th. And Franklin Roosevelt said September 7th is a date that will live in infamy. And I think February 28th is a date that will live in infamy.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But moreover, look, Matt, very important stuff is going on now, because now especially Germany is really trying to rebuild the another Reich, you know, and
with
militarize
what?
Themselves.
With what? With what?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, just like what, yesterday or today, even the chancellor of the Germany, Merz, was telling when he was meeting the Ukrainian president Zelensky, which is expired one, telling, oh, Ukrainian will win because we will do everything. And guess what? This is a grandchildren. He's a grandfather, and, you know, from both sides.
And USA blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, you know, with liquid natural gas on a ship costs four times more than liquid natural gas in a pipe. And the pipeline going to Germany was keeping Germany competitive with economically. And who destroyed Nord Stream pipeline? USA.
Correct.
And our ally, USA. You know,
look, the Germany wants to commit economical suicide. Eventually, they already committed. You know, German industry are not any more competitive if you need to buy the LNG from United States. But guess what? Go and buy it now when Qataris is out of the market. So the price of LNG tripled within the last month. So forget about all the, you know, machinery building or chemistry, petrochemical industry in Germany, where we've been famous for. And right now, only way for them is, okay, let's go again, you know, fight Russia. Maybe we grab their, you know, resources. Well, how can they, let me tell you.
It's a dream. It's fantasy. It's fantasy.
Fantasy. But
and
look,
the, and
when
Ukrainians and the US
would be over, when the Ukrainians would be finished this war, because the slogan, let's fight to the last Ukrainians, is literally, you know, globalists don't think that Ukrainians are normal people. That's why they're catching them on the street, sending them to the Minsk grinder, and they, you know, dying in a huge proportion. When you see, yeah, when the Russia just recently did exchange of the bodies with Ukraine, it's always go 1 to 30, 1 to 50. You know, Russia sure gave to Ukraine last time 1,000 bodies and received back 24. So are they talking about no casualties? They just killing own people.
It's a genocide. It's a genocide of Ukrainian men. And who are they going to replace these men with? India, Pakistan?
Not only this. Look, it's not even that, because when the Ukrainians will be over, finished, you know, last Ukrainian will be dying, they're going to, you know, throw their Polacks, they're going to throw Romanians, they're going to throw, you know, Slovakians, now Hungarians, if they would be stupid enough and buy this and drink this Kool-Aid of this suicidal sect who is running them, you know. So this
is Europe. I hope it doesn't finish. Hey, you know, we only have 2 minutes. And I know you have thoughts, and I do too. Trump is a narcissist. He has got extreme ego problem, but I think he is blackmailed 100%. 100%.
Correct.
The Melania press conference was for her protection. She went out and said this without, for her protection. He's under blackmail control from Mossad. Epstein Mossad. Is the controlling of Trump 100%, I believe.
Well, not only Trump, I guess the entire White House in the direct control of the, you know, Israelis. Like, you know, Netanyahu was bragging, well, G.D. Vance called me from the plane returning from Islamabad to give me a report. They reporting me on every step of the process. So, you know, good luck to, I think, you know.
And that's why Kushner and Witkoff. Yeah, Kushner and Witkoff were his handlers.
Yeah, but I think, you know, there is a time in America to start new liberation war. This time, not against the crown, but against the, you know, Israeli control of your government.
Okay. And this. All right, we have only half a minute left to go, and I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope we do it. Victor and I are both on X using our real names. Real Victor Boot and Matt underscore Bracken 48. So we're not afraid. We use our real name on the internet. And we'll see you on X.
Take care.
I'm very pleased to announce 2 new great products at thealexjonesstore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at thealexjonesstore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods, everywhere else, because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, thealexjonesstore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, lasts up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill, a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. It's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. If I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.